Hello, Dog Days listeners. This is August 25th, 2018. You are listening to Chuck Chat Freestyle. My name is Chuck Tomasi, and this is the 25th day of the Dog Days of Podcasting Challenge, where podcasters attempt to do a podcast a day for the month of August. And I almost missed today. I was just laying there watching some TV and went, oh, I almost forgot. What's my topic? Actually went to the gym, and that probably threw me off because I got nice and tired and want to turn in. So, that being said, the theme I've got for the month of August is a family phrase or word or story. Just sharing some childhood memories as I go back and give you a bigger picture of what makes me me and the experiences we have in those early formative years. And then when we meet, we can have a discussion, or we can have a discussion on Facebook or something if you've got something similar. So today's topic is winemaking and beyond. I'll get to the beyond in just a little bit. So when I was younger, my dad started making wine. He's Italian, and one of his friends, Ken Hoag, who had been making wine since the early 60s. And I think it was around 1969, 1970 that my dad started making it. We had grapes shipped in to Marquette, Michigan. They were Valley Beauty Zinfandel grapes. I remember those crates well. Crates and crates of these things. It would seem like a lot to a kid. There may have been, I don't know, 10, I'm guessing. Maybe 15, maybe 20 crates. I don't know. I really didn't count them. We would get them. We had a wine press, so we would press the grapes to get the juice out. The juice would flow into a ceramic crock, which I think held 10 gallons, maybe, of juice. We would continue to mash things up and add the sugar, and I don't know the whole process of this. As a kid, I remember bits and pieces of the equipment. I remember the glass carboys with the bubblers on top. I remember at one point, the local grade school had a field trip to my house, and they discovered how wine was made. And my dad took the fifth grade kids. I know we did this when my brother Rico was in fifth grade, so I must have been in first grade at the time. And then later, I think they did it for my class as well, when I got to fourth or fifth grade. And it was just kind of surreal having your classmates in your house, which, you know, doesn't happen all that often. The process was fascinating to watch. And he doesn't make wine anymore. He doesn't have the capacity for it. He moved from a condo to a small little townhouse, almost like a half a duplex thing, and it doesn't have the room for it. But my sister has since taken up the mantle of family winemaker. She's in Marquette, Michigan. She's got the oak barrels, if we want to age them that way, in oak barrels. She makes whites, she makes reds, she makes whatever. Later, as my dad would make it, he would use concentrate juice to make a Shiraz or a Riesling or a Cabernet or whatever. He made lots of different varieties. But when I was a kid, it always seemed to be Zinfandel. And this big old Victorian home was a great place to do that because we had a washroom. We called it a mudroom. And we had a wine cellar, nice and cool. We could age things. And I remember some of the stickers on the carboys that said 72 and 76. And, you know, these, I wish we had some of these bottles still around. He still made it up to, like I said, until a few years ago when they moved into a smaller place. I think one of his last batches, he made a special batch for our 25th wedding anniversary, which would have been 5 years ago in 2013. And we still have a bottle of white that's ready to open. Maybe we'll open it up on our 30th wedding anniversary coming up this fall and sample that, see how it's been doing. The other thing we would do that was unknown to me at the time, but well, I think I mentioned that we had an apartment downstairs. We fixed up a section of the basement and rented it out. I talked about Wabu Jing. He was one of our tenants. Well, we had a couple of college students that later became good family friends and did the scuba diving thing and whatnot. Steve Beinlich and George Musket. And they set up a still. And I don't know where they got the parts or technology or know-how, but we refined some of the grape skins and distilled them and made grappa. That's when I learned what grappa was. Grappa is Italian moonshine. And it wasn't until much, much later that I realized this is a real thing. That we were, when they made it, it tasted like turpentine. It tasted like paint thinner. In fact, I think we probably washed a few paint brushes in grappa. And it was an interesting experience because I learned all about condensation. I mean, there was science involved with all of this. So we made some grappa, and I remember sampling it as a kid. And I went, wow, that's powerful stuff. Well, years later, seemed to keep coming back to 2013. In 2013, I was on a business trip to Zurich, Switzerland, to work on a customer. I had a customer, like a two-day workshop I was doing for them. And I'm seeing if I can find it. It's in here. I know I've got it. There she is. Nope, that's the scotch. I have some grappa here, and I'm going to have a shot of this. Well, there it is. Nope, that's Tuaca. Got it. You can't hide from me. Okay, so I was in Zurich, Switzerland, and after we finished our workshop, our wonderful host took us out to dinner, nice Italian restaurant. And as a finish, as for dessert, we had grappa. And they brought out three different kinds. And I didn't know there were different kinds, different flavors of grappa. And I was amazed. First of all, I went, wow, this is pretty cool that we've got this. A year or two later, when my dad had his 60th birthday, his 80th birthday, excuse me, my brother gave him different flavors of grappa as well. So that confirmed it. Well, I had a sip of this, and Garrett, one of my coworkers at the time, was there, and I forget the host name from UBS, the banking company. He said, I took a sip. I swished it around just like I did there, and went, wow, that brings back childhood memories. And they looked at me like, what kind of childhood did you have? So I had to explain that. We made wine, we made some Zinfandel, and we distilled some of it and made grappa. So, to my brothers and sisters and my dad who made some of this stuff, I raise this last half shot of grappa to you. And, that's some strong stuff. It's an acquired taste. It's kind of like scotch, I guess. You know, the first time you drink it, you go, wow, who drinks this crap? But, it grows on you. So, I have an interesting past. I also found out in the family reunion a couple of weeks ago, I think I mentioned this, if I did, I apologize for repeating myself. But, my dad's Uncle Jolindo, he and his family moved to Chicago. And, he had a house with a secret panel in the basement, and behind it was a still. So he was making moonshine probably during the Prohibition years, or shortly after, or who knows. That was so I have the Tomasi family with the sordid history of making moonshine in South Chicago, which probably doesn't come as a surprise to anybody. Who knows? Maybe we were a supplier to Al Capone at one point. Or maybe he was trying to shut us down. Don't know. Not sure I want to know. But let's leave that myth alone. All right. Hopefully you found that interesting, entertaining, or at least you know what kind of booze to go get next time we're together. We'll have some grappa. Take care. I look forward to talking to you tomorrow. If you want to find out more about the Dog Days of Podcast, you can go to dogdaysofpodcasting.com. You can find out more about me at chucktomasi.com. I look forward to seeing many of you in a few short days at Dragon Con. Saturday, I think we've already told you this a number of times. Saturday is a doubleheader. We've got the topic is Trek at 7 p.m. in Hilton Galleria 2 and 3. And right across the hall, right after that, at 8:30 p.m., Technorama, Comedy Forecast and Friends at Galleria 6. Man, what have we done? We've turned a vacation into a working weekend. I love it. I love it. I am really looking forward to the parade Saturday morning. We've got some new members joining us in the final group for the Futurama group with the Robot Santa. I do need to go tomorrow. I need to look through my bucket and make sure I have everything for my Professor Farnsworth outfit, because one little thing, you know, if I'm missing the slippers, that's a problem. If I'm missing the lab coat, that's a problem. So I'm going to go through and do my final checklist. There's still a couple of days. If I have to order something on Amazon, I can always get it here. Leaving Wednesday, we'll be there Wednesday night. Scott and Craig and I are staying at the Embassy Suites down by Centennial Park. So we're going to be a little off campus, as it were, but more room, better prices, actually, but a little bit of walking. And I think the only time we're really going to be there is for sleeping, I hope. All right, until tomorrow, I will talk to you soon. Bye.